What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have a very special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and gifted musician. He is an excellent keyboardist and composer and has worked with some of the biggest names in the music industry, such as Gladys Knight, Anita Baker, Chaka Khan, and The Temptations. Please put your hands together and welcome keyboardist, composer, and vocalist, Joe Gaines. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, Spud, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. How's it going?
I'm just going great, man. Enjoying, the weather here in Cali. Just doing my thing here, man. Playing the music.
Spud. Oh, sunny California, the place to be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, Joe, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. I've listened to your music. I've seen your videos, little clips of you doing stuff. Just phenomenal, man. Just
thank you.
Phenomenal. I got to take my hat off. I'm a keyboardist also, man, so I got to take my hat off to you, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But it's my pleasure to be here with you, man, because this is obviously an opportunity for people to, get to know me, Joe Gaines, rather than... Joe Gaines is the artist rather than Joe Gaines the side man, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And which is like I said, it's a great thing for me. And so that's what I'm, trying to accomplish now, because as you can see, my resume, done a lot of stuff. But this is great. So thank you so much, but I appreciate it.
Oh, man, there's no problem, man. With your music that I've heard, man, you're kicking the doors off the hinges. Believe me.
This is up to you, man. I wouldn't have to go anywhere else. I'm just let you take over my career, but I love it.
Oh, man, I'm a fan of music, man. Hey, being a musician, I'm a fan also, dude. So, hey, I got to give it to you.
I hear you. Again, thank you. So I can't thank you enough. I appreciate it, man, really.
The two tracks that I do want to talk about, man, that I did hear, the first one, Take a Ride, and the second one, All for You. Man, that's just a heavy, smooth jazz blend. Oh, my God, man. The chord progressions, the arrangements, the choice of sounds and instruments that you're using are just phenomenal, man. Truly innovative, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Now, a lot of your songs, man, that I did hear, it has a lot of live instrumentation, man. Do you have any other band members that you put the CD together with, or is it just you by yourself?
Well, yeah, actually... there's a terrific drummer, the guy locally here by the name of Cedric Anderson that I use. He played drums. I love Cedric. He's a terrific player, and he works with me, locally around town. And I've taken him on the road with me as well, in different situations. And a bass player. Did you want names, or were you just?
Sure. I mean, if you want to, got them, great.
Yeah. There's the bass player. And one of the bass players, my co-producer, his name is Keith Rouster. He was one of the bass players on there. Another bass player on there who was one of my favorite bass players is a guy named by the name of Les King, who had quite a bit of tenure with Tom Jones at one time, if you can believe that.
Wow.
But Les has done a lot of things. He's here locally from Chicago. But I use those are the three bass players I use. And in actual fact, I played on one of the tracks myself, key bass. But it's interesting, man. When you do stuff that's kind of what you call independent, your independent stuff, I forgot to give myself credit on there. On that particular track. I went, oh, no, how did I do that? But no, it was those are the musicians. And guitar player, I used a guitar player by the name of Brian Price, who's played with, just a bunch of people, man. Amazing guitar player. He's local. Daryl Crooks is another one of the guitar players that I used on there. Percussionist by the name of Eric McCain was on there. Let's see. Saxophone players. Terrific saxophone players. Daryl Spikes is on there. Derek Edmondson is another one of the saxophone players that's on there. In fact, All for You is Derek Edmondson. He's the saxophone player on that track.
Wow, nice count, yeah, man.
And actually, Take a Ride, Gerald Spikes is the guy who comes out, blowing the sax on that introduction part. I love that.
Wow,
yeah,
amazing.
He's so much feeling, man. I love that guy. I've worked with him several times, and just so much feeling and emotion. Kind of reminds me a lot of Kurt Whalum, how Kurt plays with so much emotion,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Kirk so sees it, man. I mean, half the stuff you think is all improv, the stuff that he does half the time, man. You know, it's like, man, where did you think of that?
Isn't he amazing? He's absolutely just so smooth and a very sensitive player. I don't know, man. I consider him basically a singer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, he's just like, you're listening to a singer, not really a saxophone player. He has it down like that. That's just my opinion. But yeah, those are pretty much all the musicians that were on there. But yeah, mostly live musicians this time. You know, because I've done some projects before, and you know, you got to do the drum machine, you know what I mean, and all sort of stuff. And so I just said, you know what, I'm not going to do that this time. I want to have some interaction with the musicians, man, because I think that makes a big difference. But
it does. You get different ears involved in projects. Everybody's expression. The track is thicker, you know, and it's like, you know, everybody has great ideas, you know, but, you know, you're working with seasoned musicians like yourself. It just makes the track that much better, you know.
Much better, much, much better. It just breathes it better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's life, man. It's just life to it. I mean, I have nothing against the electronics. They play a you know, an important role in, you know, music of today. You know, sometimes, like I said, you just want real people.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's almost like performing with track music on stage. It just don't mix to me, you know?
You know what I mean? You know, for a minute you're feeling it and you go, oh, wow, that sounds pretty good. And next thing you know, this is not real, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So those are the guys that, you know, help put the project together. And I thought they did a terrific job. Just absolutely great job. I love them, man. Absolutely.
You know, Joe, I got to ask you, man, who are your musical influences, you know, and who did you study? Because I feel there is a difference between listening to somebody and studying that person.
Well, you know, quite honestly, I was, I grew up playing classical piano, you know, and that's what I wanted to be, was a classical pianist, honestly. And then I heard jazz and I go, okay, you know what, forget it. it's a beautiful thing. But to answer your question, growing up, I have to say, I was talking earlier, you know, Keith Jarrett, man, Cedar Walton, of course, you know, the amazing guys, of course, Art Tatum, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Chick Corea, obviously. Herbie Hancock, I love Herbie. I guess, I mean, who doesn't really, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, I think particularly Herbie is because of his total and complete eclecticism. You have a lot of musicians that that are so, especially jazz musicians, that are quite puritanical in their approach. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And even George Duke, you know, another guy. I mean, he's had jazz hits as well as pop hits. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
yeah. And that's what I like, man. I like because I love music, man. You know, I mean, whether it's Miles or whether it's Django Reinhardt or whether it's Tchaikovsky. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bartok, Claude Debussy, which is one of my favorite classical composers. I mean, from just the whole spectrum. You know, I mean, I love it all, man. So that's what I say about that. Was one of the main guys was Herbie, obviously. You know, him being an incredible pianist as well. I mean, come on, you can't fight that. And then, you know, playing with Miles Davis. I mean, come on, what the heck, man?
Right,
you know?
That's a lot of history right there with Herbie.
A lot of history. And I would have to say, you know, those were the influences. You know, of course, obviously, you know, George Duke playing with, what's his name?
Frank Zappa,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Frank Zappa, yeah. In fact, when I mentioned earlier about Alphonse Luzon, Alphonse played with Frank Zappa, actually.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the drummer at some point. I don't know how long his tenure was there, but he was with Frank Zappa. But Frank Zappa, amazing, man. You know, absolutely amazing.
Oh,
I don't
know
if you know that story about George Duke. It's like Frank he couldn't really find a keyboard player who could read his stuff. George Duke was probably one of the only guys who could read his stuff so well, man.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, he was the different time signature. I mean, it was just crazy amazing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's this track that Frank Zappa came up, man. It's called Nkenda's R for You, and that's just a complex piece of material to play. I mean, that's it involves precision. I mean, if you're not reading it or chart reading it, man, your ears just really got to be in tune to it. It's just so many dynamics within that song. It's just off the meters. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing. And like I said, George Duke was one of the only guys that could, you know, actually pull that off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A piano player. So, you know, definitely a lot of respect for George. But, yeah, Frank Zappa. I mean, all those guys. But my early influences, yeah, I'd have to say, you know, from Tatum to Herbie to, you know, I absolutely love Keith Jarrett. Keith Jarrett. And I can't forget, I simply can't forget Joe Zawinul, man.
Oh, yeah, all the legends, man.
Yeah, I love Joe Zawinul. I had an opportunity to meet and hang with Joe. I did the Sapporo Jazz Festival one year in Sapporo, Japan, and he was there with his group, and we just became, like, really good friends, man. And unfortunately, you know, he had passed, but he was an amazing guy, man, to talk to. In fact, he just had completed a classical record, man, a classical album, man.
Wow.
With this classical pianist, and he let me listen to it. Of course, it was amazing. But, Joe Zawinul, man, you know, I think he was one of the really unsung heroes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of, I mean, he got the popularity in terms of, you know, being with this fusion band, Weather Report, and all that stuff, but not I don't think necessarily mainstream popularity, you know?
Sure. Yeah, but to me, all the cool stuff isn't mainstream to me, though. You know, I found you know what I mean? It's like all the cool stuff is unheard.
It's like isn't that crazy, man?
Oh, man, it's like it's kept a secret or something, man.
the secret, that's the operative word. And it's like people just don't know what they're missing, man.
Oh, tell me about it, man.
They don't know what they're missing. It's just so much beauty, man, that they're missing out on. Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing, but I don't know.
Well, you know, I think in the jazz community is, you know, as far as pop and things, I mean, it's almost predictable.
You know,
but when we start branching over to the jazz genre of jazz, man, it's just, it's endless. I mean, it's just a whole universe out there instead of a block, you know?
Yeah. A block, I love it. Very good. Yeah, you're absolutely right, though, man. But I guess at the same time, you know, it's no disrespect to any one person, but, you know, I guess average person is not, doesn't really want to think to listen to music. They'd rather just let the music think for them, I guess. I don't know.
No, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, jazz listeners. You know, you have to give some thought when you're listening to jazz. But it's cool. You know, everybody has their own thing. But, those are to answer your question, those are the early influences for me.
Nice. Now, when did you discover your gift for playing keyboards, Joe? I mean, obviously, you got to be at a young age, man.
Yeah, I was 9 years old.
Nice.
Honestly, that's considered late, you know?
So, right.
I mean, so like, just like Keith and all those guys, man, they started at, like, 3 years old, man.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Seven. So I was a latecomer. But, you know, it all depends on how much work you put into it, right?
It is true, man. It is true. And, you know, where your ear is. And, you know, I talk about ear maturity a lot. With season and up-and-coming musicians. And, you know, I think everybody's at a different ability level for a couple of reasons. You know, I think the way we hear and the way we translate music coming in is how we're going to be able to project that coming out on the boards. You know, so if you're not really exposed to a whole lot of music, yeah, your palate's going to be a little bit limited. So,
yeah, that's an understatement. You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. But I mean, you know, it's a large responsibility to some degree, you know, on the educators that we have for, you know, for the young people coming up and students, as well as, you know, when I was coming up as well. Of course, I was fortunate enough to have private instruction, you know.
Wow.
And that way, so that was good for me, obviously. But unfortunately, sometimes in, you know, these days, that's not possible for a lot of young people. You know, to do that, but yeah, like you say, man, it's also too. I think it's the personal, like I said, the personal work ethic that you have, you know, that you put into what you're doing, man, and that can just garner so much satisfaction from what you do. You know,
it can. You know, I can also talk about the difference in really identifying yourself as a musician. Obviously, piano is like, you know, step one. That's like the first thing that, you know, a lot of us that are older musicians, I'm young moving into the older stage, you know, so I'm coming in to the place where, you know, keyboards are brand new, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like I had a piano in front of me, but in the early 80s when keyboards came out, man, it just... my dexterity and my style of playing, I just instantly gravitated towards the keyboard. Got the pitch bend there and just the sounds and tones. And I feel there is a difference between a keyboard player and a piano player. Just the way we attack, the way our feel, you know, the dexterity hits, you know, and I just feel that that's my comfort zone as a keyboardist, you know, you know what I mean? So I just, yeah, man. So, I mean, do you consider yourself a piano player or a keyboardist? I think you're a combination of both the way I hear you. I mean, I just hear a lot of attacks that could be keyboard attacks, and I also hear the heavy foundation of a piano player.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I grew up on piano, but as time goes on, and you know, you're trying to be a working musician, obviously, you have to develop an understanding of what you call the keyboard, you know what I'm saying, electronic keyboard. And so, like you said, I think I would consider myself both, because I love them both. I think they have a lot to offer, because, you know, obviously with all the possibilities of electronic keyboards these days. I mean, they're just absolutely amazing. Have you heard that new Nord? I don't know. Can I say particular companies on the
show?
Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you heard that Nord, man?
The Nord leader?
No, the Nord, first of all, they have an EX series. And then now they just came out a couple of months ago with a Nord piano.
Wow.
And the samples are incredible, Spud, man. You got to check it out when you get some time, man. It's just, they're nailing it, man. I'm thinking, wow, this sounds like a real piano, man.
Nord, it's no surprise to me. Nord has been in the game, and they've been, you know, one of the leaders in the game for a long time, especially on the synthesizer side. So, yeah, I definitely got to check that out.
Yeah, you got to check it out. But you know, my point was is like, you know, how all these companies are, you know, expanding their keyboard area, you know, where there's so much versatility anymore, you know what I'm saying? But I can't tell you in your audience, man, how much I absolutely love the piano. I mean, I just have a love affair. The piano is just, it's so amazing to me, man. It's just such a beautiful instrument, man. I just absolutely love it. I just love it. But I, you know, like I said, the combination of both, keyboard and piano. But as like I said, I grew up on the piano, you know, I just, that kind of transitioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I got to ask you, as a keyboardist, what's your preference, man? Hardware or software?
I'd have to say hardware.
Okay. Is that because you do a lot of live shows and things too, or?
Yeah. And then, you know, I sometimes I'm a little bit, for example, we're talking about George Duke, you know, George is definitely into electronics, and which is great, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of times, man, where George would bring out all of his equipment, man, and it would break down.
Yeah.
You know, the software for his, you know, all the laptops and stuff that he has, you know, and of course, you know, his audience wouldn't know any difference, you know what I'm saying? But
sure.
I always thought it was what's the word? I was a little afraid to just dive into all of the software. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, I love it, and it's great. You know, studio, no problem, because, you know, you're not, if, you know, something goes wrong, you can hang and get it fixed or anything. But, I mean, on a live situation, you know, that can be a little scary.
Right. You know, but if you're feeling a little daring on stage, I got to make a recommendation.
Okay.
Depending on what system you're using, what DAW you're tracking on, I'm a Logic Pro user. Till I die. So
I hear you.
Logic Pro has their main stage software that allows you to trigger your audio units, your VSTs live, and it's really pretty decent on the CPU. I run a Mac Pro, a laptop, and I've had no issues. I'm hosting probably about 30 VSTs and audio units at once.
Really?
Yeah, and I got about 16 gigs of sounds at one time that are hosted up, and it's just flawless, and it sounds beautiful. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're ever in that curious stage.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, a lot of the stuff that I did on my CD, it was with Logic, you know what I mean? So I know Logic.
Nice.
And I think it's amazing, and, you know, they've come leaps and bounds, man, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, people talk about... what's the other one? the Pro.
Pro
the
Tools, Digital Performer, Pro yeah. Tools.
Yeah, I love Logic, man, and especially recording, because to me, Logic, it seems like you're almost recording to tape. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It gives you that feeling that it just captures every nuance of what you do. You know, when you play, you know, if you do a passage or something of that nature, it's just right there. It doesn't feel digital, you know, digitally processed to me. It feels, like I said, it feels like you're, you know, playing with tape. And, you know tape from years ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I've A-B'd the difference. I've A-B'd sessions from Logic, and I've A-B'd them, same track, same notes, everything in Pro Tools. And Pro Tools sounded colder to me. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's my point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you there.
That's exactly my point. And like I said, you know, I'm of the days of recording with two-inch tape, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You got the big reels. You got to take the big reel to the studio. But that was crazy, man. But it sounded great, though, man. I mean, to this day, you can't, tape, man. It's like it's beautiful. But that's what I'm saying. You know, Logic seems to capture that, man, which I think is just phenomenal. It's amazing that they, you know, got that close to everything, man. I love it. I love it. For the composer, man, that's what you want. You know, you want for your music to be, you know, reproduced, you know, in a way that it's just, like I said, it's just like it's on the tape, like it's live. You know, you don't want to hear that electronic stuff, man. The digital, you know, processing that you often get, well, like they would Pro Tools or some other products out there. I've heard, you know, a few of them. But yeah, Logic. I'm a fan of Logic for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the old analog days of recording, man. You know, I'm a huge fan of Mike Preece. And really warming up that signal chain, getting into the DAW world. Is there any particular Preece that you're using in your recording that you kind of stand by and swear by?
Not particularly, because I have a I can't think of it. There's a couple.
Universal
of
Audio.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that one. And which is kind of a standard, I suppose, huh, to some degree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they do really well. And because I'm on the sessions and stuff, and I try and be aware of what the instrument or things that are being used. But a lot of times I leave a lot of that up to my recording engineers.
Definitely.
For them to bring in stuff, they go check this job, Joel. You know what I mean? Do this. Or, I don't know. Are you familiar with Gavin Lurson?
Gavin Lurson? No, I'm not. Is that an engineer or?
Yeah, he's an engineer. He runs a mastering a place out here in L.A. You know, he won album of the year with Alison Krauss and Robert Plant. He mastered that CD, and I think it was 08 or something like that.
Wow.
Of course, he mastered my CD as well. The one I'm going to send you one too, Spud. By the way.
Oh, nice! Thank you.
Your physical CD, I'll get you. But yeah, he mastered that, and man, I know him. He's a friend of mine. It's like all the stuff he has, all his stuff is just amazing, Spud. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's absolutely amazing. But, yeah, to answer your question, or did I answer your question?
You did. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's, you know, cool. As far as Mike Preece, man, that's for like seasonings. The way I look at it, you know, everybody uses different seasoning in their cookings, and Mike Preece is the same way because everybody gets a different color on different instruments on different Preece. So, you know, everybody and all the different Preece has their time and place, you know, for it. So, yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you see my point. Yeah, absolutely. Spud. What do you know, man? Come on, man. We're keyboard players. We know all these things, man. You know, it's like, come on, really. I mean, if you're as cool as me and you, Spud, it's okay, man. You know.
Hey, there we go.
it's like mental telepathy, you know, to some degree. We know what's going on. We know the best stuff. But yeah, man. So, can I ask you a question, actually?
Please.
Yeah. What? Now, your heart, the keyboard stuff. What? What's your favorite? I mean, what do you gravitate toward or recommend that you like to use or whatever? I don't know.
Well, merging from the hardware world, man, I was really stuck on my hardware sense for a long time. I own all of them: Korg, Tritons, the Motifs, Roland. I mean, I got everybody's library, but within the last year, I honestly merged into the virtual world of tracking. I mean, I'm using libraries. I use some of the stock, like Native Instruments, Massives and things, but I've really got into Concat and getting the libraries from Scarby's. I love Scarby's library for his bass guitars. I use East West for my strings, and I also use Scarby's library for his Fender Rhodes. It's probably the best Fender Rhodes I've heard virtual.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I was in the studio last night, actually, and this engineer was telling me about Scarby's, and he said that Native Instruments, I think, purchased them.
Yes, he did. They did. You know, I was using Scarby before they got purchased by Native Instruments, and the sound has not changed. Actually, it's probably enhanced because he's got a few things out there that he's running their bass through. It's amp. He's running through an amp when they did the recording with the samples.
Okay.
But if you're looking for true acoustic live instrument sounds, you got to check out Scarby's library. I mean, it's just phenomenal of the sound that he does. I mean, when I'm playing on my key bass, I mean, it sounds like a real bass guitar. It's got all the articulations in it. And it's, again, going back to the keyboard is in me, you know, it's just, I mean, because I play bass guitar also a little bit.
Very good.
Yeah, so I'm able to translate that into my keyboard playing, and it just sounds phenomenal, man. You got to check out Scarby.
Wow, okay. Yeah, it's amazing now. Like I said, I was in the studio last night, man, and he was telling me about that, because I didn't know about it, you know, prior to that.
Sure.
He was, because, what did he say they had, at first they only had three samples or something like that?
Yeah.
Rhodes and a couple other samples, and that's all they did, you know. So.
Right, but now it's just a huge empire with his library.
They have acoustic samples as well?
Yes, actually, they put together, Alicia Keys has got a sample library with Scarby through Native Instruments. That's another acoustic piano you got to check out. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Herbie was demoing it at the NAMM show. And it's just, it's really hard to tell the difference. I mean, I can tell the difference because I hear things, but to the consumer's ear, I mean, there's really no difference.
Right.
You know, with, you add a little bit of pre's and a little EQing, man, I mean, you're good to go.
You're good to go.
You know,
yeah.
So you'll be able to host all these sounds live in Logic. Like, I've created a template where I have all of my instruments preloaded for me. So when I open up my template, all my bass sounds, all my strings, my pianos, everything is right in front of me, so I don't have to go through searching through my library anymore. So it's just, you know, it takes a while to load up, you know, 16 gigs worth of sounds, but I have everything there. All my synthesizers, I use the Nexus One. I use Silence. Silence is my my best kept secret for our synthesizer. So.
Well, you got it going on. I love it, man.
Oh, man. You know, I can talk for hours about sounds, man. I'm just, you know, kind of a gearhead that way, man.
That's okay. I love it, man. I mean, because that's just, another area of the music thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so connected there. I'll tell you honestly, the keyboard, my main keyboard that I used on this project, this last one, believe it or not, was the S90ES.
Oh, is that a Yamaha?
Yes.
Yeah, man, that's an older board, man. That's a nice board, man.
Yeah, it's an older board. And those were my acoustic sounds on there on the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. That sounds real good, man.
That was pretty good, huh, Spud?
Wow, yeah, man. I got new spec for those old boards, man.
Yeah, man. Because I was always impressed with the acoustic sound, man. And I said, why not try this on this record, man? And with some EQ, man. And it just, as you can hear, man, it came out great.
Oh, yeah, I can't tell. I thought you were performing on a live acoustic piano, to be honest with you. I thought it was a live acoustic piano because everybody was doing the live thing. I said, okay, he probably mic'd it in on a nice baby grand or something. But, wow.
Yeah.
Yamaha does it again.
They do it again, man. I don't know. Maybe I should make it an endorsement or whatever. After all. No, but I had to tell you because I know you're a tech head, but I said, I got to tell him this because I'm thinking, You know, maybe did he know or did he didn't, you know, maybe didn't know. But, you know, we're keyboard. We're brothers and keyboard players now, man. So that's all good.
Oh, there we go, man.
For sure. I got to tell you, man. But, yeah, that's what it was. It was a Yamaha S90ES. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Perfect answer, I mean. I will have to check out the you pronounce it Scurvy, is it? Or
Scarby.
Scarby. Scarby.
Mm-hmm. S-C-A-R-B-E-E.
Okay, Scarby. Okay, I'm going to go check that out, man, because I'm dying to hear those acoustic samples, man.
I put a lot of people on, and everyone's callback is like, Spud, that was the best recommendation that anybody's ever put me on. Because everyone's getting the same type of sounds, and, you know, nothing's really flooring anybody anymore. It's like, okay, I've heard that before. Yeah, that's cool.
I know.
But, you know, to hear something fresh and new, and to know that it's virtual, it's like, oh, are you kidding me? Oh, man, because now people can write bass parts for their bass player, so when they hear it, bass player immediately just can just pick it up just from the tones that he hears. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that I think that's another great tool for keyboarders, you know, if they're writing their bass lines for the bass players and tracking for guitar players. Oh, yeah, I meant to mention for my guitar library, I use Chris Hain guitars.
Yeah,
for my acoustic library, for my acoustic guitar, steel strings, I use Chris Hain. He's another library guru, man, amongst Scarby, so.
Okay, wow, that's amazing. So all that, man, Scarby covers all that stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah, Scarby's phenomenal, man. There's a lot of guys out there that are just really good at sampling and creating libraries for keyboarders. You know, they're looking for the more acoustic sound, not so much synthesized, but, you know, I was able to, you know, create some sounds that sound live, you know, more live sounding through my keyboard, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's important, like I say, because I think that's probably, I guess you would call it the new frontier in electronic keyboards, you know.
Yes.
Or electronic sounds, that kind of the new frontier is to actually seriously try and match up the acoustic instruments.
Yes. Well, that's the goal anyways for me as a keyboarder. I think every keyboard is, aside from being synthesized, is, you know, the object and the mission is to replicate live acoustic sounds through the keyboards and be able to play those sounds like a real guitar player, real bass player. You know,
right.
I'm trying to achieve that anyway. So,
we don't want to put them out of work though. the guitar players.
Right. Well, you know, if I'm a soloist, man. It's like I'm by myself. You know, so.
I'm teasing with you, man. I love it. Because see, that was the. You know, that was the contention because I've conducted symphony orchestra, right? You know what I mean?
Wow.
And because I love all that, but that was the contention. Like when the synthesizers became, you know, more realistic sounding, particularly, or should I say, especially with string parts. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I was like, oh man, all these string players are good, out of work now. Because the stuff sounds just as good. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I'm sure that'd work, but, yeah, that's interesting. But I love it, though, man. Like I said, that's like the last, you know, the new frontier, I should say, with you know, the tech guys like yourself, especially to, you know, come up with sounds that match the acoustic sound. I mean, you know, that's so beautiful, I think, man. You know, it's a good in the form of expression for me or us as the composers as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're able to be more expressive without having to go and hire a chamber orchestra. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, a full on band. I mean, not that you wouldn't eventually at some point, but
sure.
But just you know, for compositional purposes, man, I think it's a lovely thing indeed.
Well, you know, I think, you know, every producer or composer wants their music to be able to translate well on stage. If they have a band, everybody knows their parts just from listening.
Right.
You mean, so it's like, man, I'm not trying to find a synth patch and be able to replicate that on the piano. It's not going to sound right.
So just having
you know, using acoustic sounds, pianos, your basic strings, bass, guitars, it's even easy for the other musicians to pick up the track and make it into a live form when you hit the stage. You know, my head anyways. You know, speaking of compositions, Joe, I got to ask you, man, what are your methods for putting your compositions together for yourself or another artist that you're producing? Is there a formula that you use, or it really depends on the project?
And this is the project, and for my own particular project, just period, I guess. It depends on the project. But obviously, as a piano player, that's where all my inspiration comes from. When I sit down to the piano, and I at this point in my career or my life or whatever, there's not too much I can't play. You know what I'm saying, on the piano.
Right.
It's gotten to the point to where, my ears are developed and, my harmonic sense is developed to where, I can just come up with different ways of doing things. I just like to sit there and just improvise, you know what I mean?
Wow.
To just improvise. No structure, don't have nothing. Just start improvising and see what can come out of what this improvisational thing that's doing for me, and it's just creating stuff, man, like that. I'm that kind of guy. I just like to create stuff. I've never been so much a formula person. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a spontaneity of things that I really love. But then essentially that's the what jazz musicians and who they are really. Especially when you talk about improvisational jazz. And, by me playing with older jazz musicians straight ahead jazz, I've done that, more mainstream jazz. I mean, you're just living in the moment, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, you're living in the moment, man. You're in the moment. But, yeah, no, there's no particular formula, though, to answer your question. Not at all. Not at all.
Cool. Now, as a keyboardist, I want to know, what do you practice daily on, as far as runs, progressions, or are you the type of player where you practice when you do your compositions and writing? Because sometimes, like, I'll practice and, I'm doing my warm-ups, but next thing you know, I'm starting grooving and I'm starting making it into a song. So,
oh, boy, you're great. I love it, man. Yeah. Well, honestly, I have there's a book, honestly, that Herbie actually turned me on to, Herbie Hancock. And it's called Daily Technical Studies by Oscar Berenger.
Wow. I'm writing that down.
it's still in public. It's published. You can find it. Daily Technical Studies by Oscar Berenger. And that takes you through, I don't know if when you first come up piano, you had the Hannon and all that stuff, remember?
Sure, yeah.
Hannon, Czerny, and so forth. Well, this takes you from, and it has all those types of exercises that facilitate you as a pianist, for independence of the fingers, make your fingers stronger and so forth. But yeah, that's like the one book that I've been using for quite some time. And also it's a book by I Philippe is another one, which is exercises based on the diminished seventh chord.
So
those are probably the two that keep me going, man. And of course I try and keep up with my classical repertoire, that kind of thing, and
sure,
and the reading, so forth. You gotta read, sight read things when get a chance.
Definitely.
And, yeah, Oscar Berenger, man, because so many different aspects or sections in that book that can take you from a lot of different ways to completely improve your pianistic ability.
Nice. I got to check that out, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's like, it's still in publication. Maybe 20, 30 bucks. Probably you can go online somewhere, I'm sure, and get it. Easy access. And I tell people, I say, especially young people, I go, yeah, okay, you can get the book, man, but make sure you open it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey, don't make it as a coaster, man.
You know what I mean.
I got you, man.
No doubt. But yeah, Oscar Berenger, man. Terrific publication.
Now, I got to ask also, Joe, where do you find that creative zone, man? Is it in a studio where it's more structured and you can take your time with the composition? Or is it on stage where you can feed off that energy from your bandmates and the audience?
It's both, man, to me. I mean, of course, there's nothing like being on the stage with the proper bandmates. For example, there's some terrific players, though, like I said, with Wayne Henderson's Crusaders thing I do, the musicians there. I mean, we have such an amazing time. In fact, we just finished Ronnie Scott's in London a couple of months ago. And are you familiar with Ronnie Scott's?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Are you familiar with Ronnie Scott's?
No, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, Ronnie Scott's is like the premier jazz club in London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anybody who's anybody has, you know, come through there and played there. In sure. Actual fact, man, you like Jeff Beck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, man, Jeff Beck did a live concert at Ronnie Scott's recently with Vinnie Colaiuoli playing drums and this young female bass player. I can't remember her name. She's on the scene now, and she plays with Jeff Beck.
Yeah, Jeff Beck is good, man. Him and Steve Vai, man, those are probably one of my top guitarists of all time.
Amazing, aren't they? And he's just, through the years, man, Jeff has gotten so sweet, man. So sweet. You know what I mean? It's like beautiful what he plays. The notes are just awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Awesome. In fact, I don't know, have you heard Herbie's latest record? He has one with a bunch of singers on it and stuff.
No, let me see. The last Herbie album I did hear, honestly, was Possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he has a new one out. And anyway, Jeff Beck is playing on there, man. He does an outstanding job.
Oh, wow. I got to check that out, man.
Yeah. It's terrific. Speaking of Jeff Beck. But live, man. I would have to say live because, you know, like I said, you're in the moment live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're in the moment live with studio. Studio's terrific. I love it. You're creating and you're composing, but it's something that you're trying to keep to hear it over and over and over again. But like I say, on the stage, man, you know, once you play that note, it's gone forever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
It's gone forever. Unfortunately, but you know, it's a lot of fun that way, man. It's just absolutely a lot of fun, and especially like I say, when you have the musicians that are, you know, really, that really play well together, and you just have a lot, you respect each other, and you support each other, too. You know, that's very, very important to have that, your mates to support you, because it makes a big difference, and to listen, you know, and to listen to what you do in jazz improvisation. There's nothing like, again, your bandmates to listen to what you do, man, because it's, you know, that's like, ultimately, you know, a lot of guys that play together, but they're not really playing together, you know?
Sure, they're just going through the motion. Like I say, sometimes, man, as musicians, we can kind of get away just on mere talent. You know what I mean? It's like, it's grooving, it fits, but is it really what we're doing right now?
Exactly, no doubts, but I totally agree with you, man. I totally agree. But yeah, the stage, man, I'd say stage is the number one thing for me, man, to actually just play, you know? I love to just play, man.
I agree. You've got the new CD out.
The new CD out. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's it, man. I know you got some tour dates lined up. You're probably making some more hits somewhere with somebody else. So.
Yeah, well, actually, the CD's just out, honestly, Spud, about, I'd say, 2 months now.
Okay.
About 2 months, yeah. Yeah, maybe a little bit, but about 2 months. And so, you know, I'm getting, you know, the press and everything, getting a hold of it, and of course, doing shows like yourself, and again, I thank you, and just trying to get some visibility that way in order to start doing some tour dates, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
And they're coming. They're coming, but it takes a minute because the landscape now is a lot of artists in the landscape now, you know, entertainment and, you know, groups and artists and so forth. So it's sometimes, you know, bobbing and weaving through all that.
Oh, yeah.
It can be kind of interesting, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a fight out there, man. Let me tell you.
It's like, you know, there we go again, but you know exactly what I'm saying, man. I didn't quite play it like that. It's a fight. You're absolutely right.
Like, if I know this, man, I would have been working out a long time ago, man.
Come on, man. You're right. I love it. I mean, I laugh because it's just so true. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, man, this new artist come up, man. You're so vulnerable to everything. You know what I mean? And
yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, man. I can't tell you. You know, you really did. But so to answer your question, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like I said, to just get this the CD more visible, as far reaching as possible. You know, across the pond here in you know, the United States, obviously, and wherever I can get the visibility for it, so that people can actually hear it, man. I think that they would enjoy it once they do hear it, honestly.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, I just got a sample of the stuff that you sent me, and I just can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. My pleasure. Like I said, I'll make sure you I get a physical CD to you as well, Spud.
Right. Indeed. Oh, that'd be lovely, man. Like I said, I'm a type of musician, man. If I hear a jam, I upload it, man. I'm starting jamming right along with you behind. You know, if it's a good jam, I'm doing it with you, you know?
I hear you.
That's just a fan in me, you know?
I hear you, man. That's great, though, man. I mean, you know, because we're all, I mean, it's like, Spud, we're all in this together. You know what I mean?
We are, yes.
We really are, man. We're all in this together. And, you know, whether it's, you know, a person like myself or yourself, whoever's creating the music, you know, in the final analysis, man, It's how we support each other, you know, fans. Like I tell people, too, you know, as an artist, I mean, we would be nothing without fans, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And a fan, it translates, it doesn't matter, you know, some of the most famous people could be fans of something else, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's we're all in this together, man. It's a beautiful thing, though. It's an absolute beautiful thing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you coming by and chopping it over with me, man. It's been a phenomenal show.
I love it, man. It's likewise, Spud.
Oh, man, I got to have you back, man.
Okay, cool. It would be my pleasure, man, honestly. It would be my pleasure.
Good deal. Well, you have a safe 2010, man, and I'll be looking for that CD.
Okay, I'll get that to you, Spud. And again, thank you so much. And to your fans, you know, Spud, he's the best. Yeah, you really are, man. And I hope to... you know, that you will continue, you know, your work, man, because this is just terrific, man. It really is. It means a lot to, you know, us as musicians, artists, and listeners, I'm sure, as well, because you know, you're the kind of person who likes to expose good music. You know what I'm saying? Good music, Spud.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that's important. All right, man, for sure.
Well, you take it easy, Joe, and have a good one, man.
Thank you so much, Spud. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And a big shout out to Joe Gaines for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Again, man, it was truly an honor to talk to him, man. He's an excellent keyboardist, and, you know, just to have his perspective on composition and the way things are musically was really inspirational for me to listen to, and, you know, just to have that one-on-one time with him. And for more information on Joe Gaines, you need to hit his website up at www.joegainesmusic.com, and that's spelled JoeGainesMusic.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up as well at www.spudtootight.blogspot.com. And again, that's www.spudtootight.blogspot.com. And I also host a podcast on iTunes, so if you have an iPhone or computer, open up the iTunes player, go to the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current views as well. And for the remainder of the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show, and it's off of Joe Gaines' CD. And the title of the track is called Take a Ride, which is available on iTunes, Rhapsody, and Amazon MP3. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
Do me like that. Things we want. Love each other special, so hard to find. You drive me, baby, crazy, right out of my mind. I love you, and I need you. You're the only one for me that makes me feel alright. And you want me to want you, so we can just keep going on this beautiful ride. Thank you. feel alright, and you won't be.